The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This corner, weighing in with his take on current events, the smarty of the party, the mighty Mike from the right, the heavyweight of debate, the man who's in cahoots with the grassroots, the broadcaster master, Jimmy Sangenberger.
Saturday night is always all right for the Jimmy Sangenberger Show right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Such a pleasure and a privilege to be with you once again, as always. If you want to join into the festivities 24-7, 365, please do so. Shoot me an email on the 710 KNUS website, 710KNUS.com, and go to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show page. There you can listen to podcasts and email yours truly directly. You can also log on to my website, jimmysangenberger.com. Remember, there's no A, there's no I, there's no U in Sangenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sangenberger is easy. And go to the contact page there. You can connect with me that way. Plus, of course, follow me on Twitter at Sang Center. That's Sang with an E, not an A, Center on Twitter. By the way, Facebook as well. Facebook.com/Jimmy Sangenberger Pro gets you the Jimmy Sangenberger Media Personality page. Would appreciate it if you'd like that as well. We got a great show for you tonight. In the third hour, we'll talk with some state legislative candidates, Samantha Cook, Doug Townsend, and Bob Andrews. I'm going to share some conversations I had relative to the post office and more from Jimmy at the Crossroads this past week, and give some thoughts on the Democratic convention and the Republican convention and comparing the two. But first, yesterday I caught up with the national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee, Liz Harrington, and we had a great conversation about some of those stark differences between the Republicans and Democrats conventions, and how successful this week and how successful this week really was for the Republicans and the Trump reelection campaign. Pleased to welcome now to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, once again here on News Talk 710 KNUS, the national spokesperson for the Republican National Committee, Liz Harrington, joins me. Liz, welcome to the show. It's good to talk with you again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let me ask you this question. I appreciate you taking the time. Look, the RNC was different from anything we've ever seen in the past, just as the DNC was. We've never had this convention situation where you have a pandemic and you can't gather everybody together in a massive arena. But the RNC, I think, really was unique in how you guys all put this together, especially as a contrast to the DNC. And I want to start right there in terms of the convention and the festivities itself. What's your sense for things?
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. And, you know, in a way, it worked out even better because we had, you know, about 2.5 hours each night to really hone in and focus every single minute about what this country truly is. Let's hear from the real Americans who have benefited from our great country, who've benefited from the policies of this administration. I mean, you couldn't get a bigger contrast with the primetime DNC, down and out, boring, woke PBS telethon with the same old swamp dwellers, with the same old empty promises and empty rhetoric that never matches reality. And they never mentioned their agenda. I mean, they didn't mention their agenda playing out on the streets of Minneapolis and Portland and Seattle. That's the Biden-Harris agenda in action. And they didn't mention the tax hikes, all out assault on oil and natural gas that they're proposing, just what would cripple our V-shaped recovery. They didn't mention any of that. Instead, it was the superficial, shallow, America's deplorable and irredeemable, and only Democrats and big government can save us, led by the guy who's, you know, running against the system, who's been in the system for 47 years. Right. I mean, you had that all week. And so, well, what did we decide? Instead of, you know, all day of speeches, and we wish we could have all gathered together in person all week long. We love to do that. But it really gave us an opportunity to contrast and say, this is the real America. This is the real president who leads America. We're going to show the truth about our agenda in action and about their agenda in action, because all elections are choices at the end of the day. And we had to show the truth not only of this coronavirus response, but also of the realities of what Democrats are doing, taking power away from Americans, stomping on our religious liberty, stomping all over the Constitution. So I think it was so powerful to actually hear from real Americans, whether it's the Maine lobsterman or the dairy farmer in Wisconsin, or just the people who work it behind the scenes in the administration, like Jerron Smith last night, to give another side. These are the people that know this man. What do we all have in common?
Yeah.
We love the country, and it's worth defending. And it really came across all week, and it just couldn't have come off better, because it was from the heart. Yeah. And we put a lot of work into showing that heart of America.
Well, and Liz Harrington, your point about average Americans is so salient. I mean, I was just struck emotionally by Ann Dorn's powerful speech last night, or at the convention on Thursday night. I was struck by Alice Johnson's address, talking about how her sentence was commuted by President Trump, and how President Trump has led on the First Step Act for criminal justice reform. And you had average American after average American, in addition to these politicians, the folks that are in office, you know, United States senators, and of course the vice president, the president, and the first lady, and the second lady. And you didn't see much of that. There were only a handful of people at the DNC who were not either celebrities or politicians. And that was one of many aspects, I thought, that distinguish the RNC very much from the DNC.
Exactly right. And what a powerful, from all spectrums, from all walks of life, from all around the world, Chen Guangchen, he said, it's not easy standing up to tyrants. Well, yeah, and that's what we're all dealing with, right? With communist China and what they did to the world. Whether it's Maximo Alvarez, who fled communism not once but twice, his family from Spain and then communist Cuba, and he loves his country. To hear from the rising stars who said, you know, just regular people that said, hey, I want to get involved, like Daniel Cameron, first Black American elected statewide for attorney general in Kentucky. You won't decide how I think. I'm going to chart my own path. All these diverse voices that all have one thing in common, former Democrats, Vernon Jones and Jeff Van Drew, they all have one thing in common. They said, wait a minute, we love our country. We shouldn't have to apologize for our country.
Right.
And we need to stand up for our country, because, I mean, talk about the powerful, I think Tuesday night was really all about speaking up, like Nicholas Sandman, Officer Hollitz in Albuquerque, who saved Baby Hope and adopted her and now has helped a mother who was homeless and drug addicted turn her life around. He said, you know, Americans don't want to defund the police. We don't want to demonize the police. But the silent majority is really going to have to start speaking up and not being silent anymore. So Tuesday night was that. The bold words of, like, Abby Johnson calling out Planned Parenthood for the despicable horrors of the reality of what they do. And then Wednesday night at Fort McHenry was about standing up, and to see those wounded warriors, if they can stand for the anthem. And President Trump, you know, he didn't make a speech that night. He went to listen to the vice president, who gave a stirring call for freedom and a recognition of America's heroes. And President Trump came out and spent time with those men and women who have sacrificed so much. If they can stand, certainly we can.
No doubt.
And it's just, there were so many incredible moments. No. A pardon, I mean, a naturalization ceremony, and of course, culminating in last night, all of the speeches by the Trump family, our first lady, were very powerful. And of course, the president's speech, just, he laid it all out there. What we saw is the real deal.
Yeah.
And whether you like President Trump's style or not, you've got to respect it, because he's true to who he is. And what Ivanka said last night, Washington didn't change Donald Trump. Donald Trump changed Washington. And how better are we as a country because he stayed true to himself and what he promised to do, which is work for all Americans. And that's what we're doing.
Liz Harrington, again, our guest, RNC national spokesperson. Two other things that I took note of, in addition to the Democrat or the Republican convention, unlike the Democratic convention, actually talking about policy and achievements. In fact, I saw Karl Rove on Fox News said he put President Trump's speech through something on his computer and found that only 10% of it was even talking about Joe Biden versus everything else, which is very dissimilar from Biden's speech, which was so heavy on bashing President Trump. In addition to that, and in addition to the fact that we saw so many, as you put it, real Americans who are out there living their lives on a day-to-day basis, providing testimonials, I also really was struck by the format. That is to say, the Democrats basically phoned it in. They just had people in different locations doing their videos. You know, Biden and Harris, I think, were the only ones who spoke at podiums to basically empty rooms, whereas at the Republican National Convention, most of the speakers were coming up to the same podium, alternating back and forth. And then you had the video messages that you would get that were, some of them were just incredibly powerful. You had the pre-cut videos that were, I think, getting really important messages across about the economy, about a variety of different issues going on in America. And then you had First Lady Melania Trump giving a tremendous speech from the White House in the Rose Garden. You had the President of the United States, of course, Thursday night, also at the White House in the South Lawn speaking. It just looked tremendous. And then on Wednesday, you had Vice President Mike Pence in Baltimore at Fort McHenry. I thought that there was some more dynamism just from the locations and the structure and format in that way, but also it seemed far more cohesive and interconnected than the DNC did at any point.
Absolutely. And it was amazing when we released the titles of what each night's theme would be. People are, oh, that's redundant, you know, opportunity and promise. Oh, no, it is not. I mean, the only thing that was redundant was how much we love our country. We said it over and over and over again, but we showed so many things that have not been mentioned. I mean, talk about land of promise, the hostages who President Trump has gotten back.
Oh, gosh.
50 hostages from 22 different countries, they're coming back to the land of promise. I mean, that's just one snippet of one part. And I'm telling you, 2.5 hours, you didn't want to miss a minute. And I encourage all your listeners, if you missed a night, go to the live streams, watch it all back. Because without the pundits, without the naysayers, without the so-called fact checkers who are so agenda-driven, this was our week to lay out our argument. This is what we stand for. This is what we've achieved. And this is what we're going to achieve in a second term.
Right.
Decide for yourself. Be a free thinker. Open debate. We've seen very clearly Democrats aren't interested in debate. Nancy Pelosi, nope, can't have debate. The mob that greeted us last night after we celebrated the President of the United States and left the White House, and to be greeted by just this vitriolic, angry, it was awful.
Oh, I saw the Rand Paul video.
The amount of hatred of Joe Biden's supporters. They don't want debate. They don't want to listen to the arguments. They don't want to listen to the...
Liz, Nancy Pelosi literally... I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just want to underscore your point by saying Nancy Pelosi literally said she doesn't think Joe Biden should debate President Trump.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. What's the difference between her saying that and the halls of the Capitol and the mob that's shouting us down, cursing us out? They don't want to debate either. They want submission. They want power. And they want to destroy this country. Not on our watch. There are freedom-loving Americans here. And I love that you mentioned just that we put some work into this,
clearly.
You know, because it's important. We have an opportunity to reach more people that might not be tuning in to every Trump speech and every time he travels around our great country.
Yeah.
So we wanted to show where we've come from and where we're going. And so Fort McHenry, the idea of this just attack against our very roots of our founding and our Star Spangled Banner, it was important to stand there and say, we respect our history and we'll learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
It was also important to show what's at stake. And it's amazing to me, President Trump, he had the longest speech in modern history. Why? Because in such a short amount of time in Washington, who has accomplished more? Nobody. Joe Biden, 47 years in Washington, had the shortest acceptance speech in modern history. Why? Because he's never accomplished a darn thing for the American people. What could he possibly talk about? And so President Trump not only hit the amazing trade deals, the building the wall, the Space Force, the judges, the just holding China to account. Mm-hmm. I mean, defeating ISIS issue after issue after issue. Hearing from the Mueller family, my goodness.
Oh, man.
What's at stake? But he hit all that, but he also talked about what we're fighting against, but what we're going to do when we win again.
Well,
keep America great.
Absolutely. And that goes back to the average Americans who've had harrowing ordeals in many cases, and they're providing these firsthand testimonials that those were the most powerful moments, frankly, where the average Americans
Absolutely.
Who were telling their stories. Oh, something else that was so striking to me, Liz Harrington, again, our guest in a few minutes left with you, Republican National Committee national spokesperson, and that is the diversity. Look, the Republican Party has this reputation that the media likes to perpetuate that we're just at the party of the old white man, and that's it. But I am just so encouraged by the level of diversity from people of different racial and ethnic backgrounds, the age groups. I mean, everybody just talks about how, the millennial generation we're all leftists and socialists. Yet we had prime examples from Elif Stefanik to Daniel Cameron to Catalina Lauf, and the list goes on of millennials and people of all sorts of different backgrounds that were on stage or in the videos over the course of this convention. And that was really a sight to behold. And I think just really pummels that whole narrative that the Republican Party is an exclusive party, not an inclusive party, Liz.
Exactly. And it's such a lie. And look at their bench. Who do they have? And that's why they ended up with the choice for the Democrats between the 77-year-old career white old man politician and the 78-year-old white man career politician socialist. I mean, those were their choices. But they don't have diversity at the top of the ticket. We have diversity in our party. But more importantly, we have diversity of thought. That's what matters, the ability to chart your own path and think for yourself. And Daniel Cameron and Tim Scott and all of these amazing voices, Madison Cawthorn, 25 years old, stood up from his wheelchair. The Elif Stefanik, I mean, so many young, vibrant voices, again, come from all walks of life, all backgrounds, all challenges. Kristi Noem, absolutely just gorgeous and just full of grace and led her state so
Nikki
well.
Haley.
That should be the model. Nikki Haley, I mean, it's incredible to see just the amount of people. And then everyone really used their time to make it count. And it's amazing to see over 4 nights, 2.5 hours each night, to have the Senate Majority Leader, I think he only had 2.5 minutes, Mitch McConnell, but he made it count. And that's what was so important, to really show what's at stake and really show these normal, everyday Americans, because we love our leaders. We love the people that fight for our values, but we also want to hear from the people that they're serving.
Right.
And we want to hear their challenges, what they've overcome, and a real warning sign. I mean, you got to listen to Ann Dorn's message. It is the most powerful thing, because we cannot be in this society now where you just take the morality out of everything. And I was so proud of our party. We are fighting for the unborn, and we're being very clear about what it is. And the amount of mentions about our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights, but fundamentally the right to life. It's powerful. Well, and for far too long, Democrats have lied about what it is, and we're speaking the truth now.
Yes.
And again, you couldn't get a bigger contrast. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want taxpayer-funded abortion up until birth. That is not going to restore the soul of the nation. That's going to kill the soul of the nation.
Yeah, well, one thing that was so striking, I love how Cardinal Dolan kicked everything off with the initial prayer at the very beginning. And then on Wednesday night, you had Sister Dee Dee Byrne, just incredible, 30 years in the military, a surgeon, now a nun, and just giving, going to the pro-life point, just a robust testimonial to President Trump in terms of life issues. One thing that I thought was so good about whether even when you get into the abortion issue, you talk about the economy, you talk about the violence and chaos that's in the streets, the list goes on. I really thought that the messaging was on point. Like, I thought it would be pretty good, but I was struck by how impressive the messaging was as far as trying to really paint that bold vision and appeal to the conservative base that we have in the Republican Party, but also Liz Harrington appealing to people who are still, and there are a lot of them in this country, who are still making up their minds by showcasing what's going on, what's really happening in this country, what has transpired, where we're headed. And I thought that the way of getting the messaging, including from some of those standalone videos that were produced, was really spot on, very well done.
And again, the thing that really tied it all together was the love of our country. How many times I was struck, I think I heard it every night by various different speakers, I'm forever grateful. And that, we need more of that in our country. This country is not perfect by any means, but too often now, and like what Senator Scott said, you're acting as if this is the worst it's ever been. We're worse than 1860 or 1960. No, and what did the heroes of those days look towards? The founding documents, the true equality, because our rights come from God. And so to hear so many speakers be grateful that they live in the greatest nation on earth, we all need more of that. We need more healing. We need more redemption. That's the American story. There's always a fight in us. There's always a second chance. And to see President Trump pardon Alice Marie Johnson today in the Oval Office, it's just truly incredible to see people's lives turn around. That's what we should be striving for. That's what this country is about. It's not what Democrats say we are, divide us for votes, pit us against each other for power. We're not that. And we have to take a stand because this country is unique and it's worth preserving. And like Maximo Alvarez said on opening night, there's nowhere else to go. Mm. We have to keep freedom here because it's the same old story, yes, as old as time. It's a fight for liberty, and we have it in this country, and we can't take it for granted.
That is a wonderful note to end on. Liz Harrington, RNC national spokesperson, congratulations on quite a convention, especially in these circumstances. And I really appreciate you joining us here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show once again.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, we're going to take our first break of the day. When we come back, I've got thoughts, audio, reaction to what went on this week at the RNC, which really was... it was fantastic on so many different levels, as we talked about with Liz Harrington. I'll give some thoughts on that and some of the revelations that we're seeing now when it comes to the Democrats opening up their eyes, opening their minds, I guess, maybe, on the violence in the streets. I don't know. We'll talk about that and more coming up on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Don't go anywhere.
Tonight.
Rocking and rolling back, partying along on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. Little Anthony Gomes bringing us back. Singing about how we're going to have a party, which we're doing, which we did this week. I thought some excited music, some energizing party time blues would be very fitting when we're talking about the Republican National Convention, which I thought hit all the right marks from a messaging standpoint on issue after issue, with video after video, speech after speech. How it was done was so well crafted, and it made me enthusiastic. I hope it made you enthusiastic as well. And that you are revved up and ready to go in 2020. We need to reelect President Trump. It's going to be tough for Colorado, but we can do our part. We need to reelect U.S. Senator Cory Gardner. We need to make inroads in the state legislature. We'll talk with some candidates later on about that. And so much more. I'm revved up, ready to go. I hope you are too. And I want to play a clip here of President Trump that I think really helped to set the stage, set the table for a discussion in his speech on Thursday night about his achievements. And that's what his speech was dominated by, heavily so. It seemed nonstop. It was all about, these are the things that I have achieved, that we have done. Let's continue the progress. Karl Rove, I said this in the last segment, I believe. Karl Rove did a little computer whiz thing, you know, he loves to do his number games. And he calculated that only about 10% of the president's speech, only about 10% of President Trump's address was on Joe Biden. Otherwise, it was positive and about his achievements and where he'd like to take the country. That's not what Biden brought us. He was all about the soul of the nation, light versus darkness. He was trying to channel Yoda, I guess. Choose the light you must, not the dark side. And the dark side, Donald Trump, is. I guess that's what Biden was going for, with some sort of light versus darkness. But I just have to say that there is no way in which Joe Biden's message and with his the anger, that's what I took away. I took away a lot of anger in the presentation of Biden last week. But Biden was consistently negative and painting this picture. It was all character and it was all, I am going to bring this country out of darkness. When there are a heck of a lot of Americans, including you and me, who recognize that the things he says are darkness just don't exist in most respects. There's some of it. But by and large, he's painting this dark picture that isn't reality. And instead, he's trying to play into those Democrats who across the country are just, you know, they don't like how President Trump makes them feel. And they think he's evil. He's a vile guy. We have to remove President Trump because he's evil. He's vile. That's it. That was all it was about. And by the way, we know that a Biden-Harris president and vice president would make things all the worse. All the worse when it comes to the idea of darkness in our country. Because they will provide cover for the rioters. They already have done it for months until this week, I guess. They suddenly have revelations. Although that raises questions as well. We'll get to that in a moment. But they provide cover for the rioters. And they're not condemning it. They haven't been for months until this week. They look at the polls and the polls say, hey, Americans are not happy about this. We'll get to that more in a moment. Bottom line is the image presented, the message provided by the RNC was so different, so much more uplifting, so much more policy centric, and so much more representative of average Americans than the Democrats. So anyway, let's play this clip of President Trump.
From the moment I left my former life behind, and it was a good life, I have done nothing but fight for you. I did what our political establishment never expected and could never forgive, breaking the cardinal rule of Washington politics. I kept my promise.
That's President Trump. I kept my promise. And then he goes through and he talks about all the different issues, from the economy to foreign policy to the judiciary and beyond, all of the different issues on which President Trump has been successful. And it really is true. Look, you'll recall if you've been a longtime listener of this program, and next month marks 7 years of the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, that during the early time of the primary, until about a month before Trump officially secured the nominations, I think it was beginning of June, when I came on this show and I said, look, we got to vote for President Trump. It's the reality. He's going to be the nominee. We need to beat Hillary Clinton. Prior to that, I was very much against the president. I was very critical of his candidacy. I didn't think he should win. I didn't think he was serious. In the beginning, I was one of those who said he didn't have a shot. Then as things progressed and he's got close to securing the nomination, I realized, you know what? This guy's really got a chance and we got to support him. But even after I endorsed President Trump about a month before the Republican National Convention and said he must win, we must defeat Hillary Clinton, even after that, I still had lower expectations. I mean, when he won the presidency, I thought, okay, hopefully he'll be all right on judges. I expected him to be very hard line on trade, even worse than he's been, actually, in my view, of course. I expected a few things here and there to actually happen, but I didn't expect much. And I am extraordinarily impressed by what President Trump has been able to accomplish. And on the economy, I mean, we had such a robust economy before the pandemic hit and before Democrats in particular shut down our economies across the country. It was robust. It was tremendous. We had some of the record lowest unemployment rates in community after community that we've ever had. And it's remarkable when you think about those achievements. I don't want Joe Biden, who had the, remember 2011? Joe Biden was tapped to run the summer of recovery. It was the recovery summer and things were going to go gangbusters and it didn't happen. But who was put in charge of the summer of recovery? Barack Obama put Joe Biden in charge. President Obama tapped his vice president, Joe Biden, and said, you spearhead the summer of recovery, and it was a flop. We had the slowest economic recovery on record under Barack Obama. Then we get to Joe Biden, the candidate. And you have to ask yourself, is this guy capable of bringing our economy back from the brink? Can he revitalize this economic malaise or not? The answer clearly is no. Joe Biden obviously has said he's willing to shut down the economy again, which would be absolutely ruinous for the nation. But Joe Biden's not the guy. We've known that for years, going back to the 2011 summer of recovery. President Trump can bring us back with his policies, particularly of deregulation and lower taxes. The Democrats will raise taxes. They will inflict more regulation. President Trump wants to expand school choice. He's already taken some steps in that regard with Betsy DeVos, the best education secretary since Reagan appointed Bill Bennett in the 1980s, Without a doubt, she's done a great job. He wants to expand that. That was a big highlight of the convention, was when President Trump kept talking about school choice, or his advocates were talking about school choice, giving parents educational freedom, helping them to get up out of poverty by sending their kids to a better school if they so choose, not being married to their zip code school. And by the way, Joe Biden wants to eradicate that. Full stop. He touted his record on oil and gas development, which is tremendous and has really helped to bring down carbon emissions here in the United States of America. The judiciary, Middle East peace. Point after point after point after point has been genuinely encouraging on the part of President Trump, in a way where he has vastly surpassed my expectations. And they highlighted that in, I thought, brilliantly effective ways. With the, and I talked about this with Liz Harrington in the last segment, RNC national spokesperson, but what they did in putting together a coherent and interconnected program at the convention was what needed to happen. And it gave so many different elements that were positive, that were substantive, that were uplifting, but also were tearing at your heartstrings at times, tugging at your heartstrings, that were making you really think, okay, we need to do something here to protect what we've got in this country, because the direction the leftists want to bring us will bring about more mayhem and more chaos. And so that vision presented by President Trump in his speech and all of the other speakers was exactly what needed to happen. The videos, the speech, just all of it. And the messaging was right on, especially in terms of showcasing the diversity of the American people. And not just the American people, but the diversity of the Republican Party and of supporters of President Trump. Some of the great moments that we saw came from Black Americans who were saying, look, I'm not married to the Democratic Party. They failed me. They failed my community. And we should not be held in a position where we must become beholden, continue to be beholden to the Democrats. We saw Hispanics, Navajos, so Indians, we saw women, there's the list goes on. Millennials, some of the great speakers, Daniel Cameron. If you haven't watched Daniel Cameron's speech, you need to watch Daniel Cameron's speech. He's 34, he's the Attorney General of Kentucky, and he is clearly a rising star in the Republican Party. He is a Black millennial conservative, and he's got incredible potential. Very encouraging. So there was a lot to take away positively from the RNC that just completely trounced the DNC on every measure, I would say. Now, hopefully, there's a lot there that the Republicans can work with to put out videos and ads and so forth in order to get in front of the middle of the road folks, the independents, unaffiliateds, who probably weren't watching the conventions very much. And I think there's a lot of content there that they can reuse, which is encouraging. But it's no surprise when you see what happened at the RNC, when you see the energy and enthusiasm, it is no surprise what Nancy Pelosi said this week about Joe Biden, that he should not debate President Trump.
Don't tell anybody I told you this, especially don't tell Joe Biden. I don't think that there should be any debates. I wouldn't legitimize a conversation with him, nor a debate in terms of the presidency of the United States. If Joe Biden asked you what I thought about it, I don't think that he should dignify that conversation with Donald Trump.
Don't legitimize Trump. Don't dignified Trump or even a conversation with him for the presidency? Wait a second. What world does Nancy Pelosi live in? You cannot ignore Donald Trump when he is the incumbent president of the United States running for re-election. Just ignore him? What the hell kind of talk is that from the Speaker of the House? Saying that the American people should not be presented with a choice and able to see the two options right before them on stage. Now, my grandfather, he said the other night, he's been visiting here in Colorado, and he said the other night, I don't think Biden is going to debate. I don't think Biden's going to debate President Trump. And I said, you know, I don't think he's going to do three like they're scheduled for, but I think one or two is very likely. And I still think Kamala Harris and Vice President Pence will debate. And I think it was the next day that Pelosi made this statement, and I told him, oh, Grandpa, I guess you might be right. Pelosi is dropping all the hints, trying to pave the way, give an excuse for Biden, who cannot get a sentence out unless it's scripted. And even then, he's lucky. Joe Biden is not good off the cuff. We all know that. And that's why she does not want him to debate President Trump. She knows that it is not a fair matchup on this stage, because there's just no way Joe Biden can handle it. He said in an interview, he was asked about Pelosi's statements by Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC. And what did Biden say? Oh, he said, oh, he plans to do the debate, but he wants to be a live fact checker. To fact check the president live on stage. I'm wondering how much Biden's going to be able to remember about those so-called facts to check the president. I'm not too worried about fact checker Biden being able to quickly challenge President Trump in that way. Needless to say, the reality is that the RNC was a tremendous success. The DNC paled by comparison on every level, and we must be victorious. And let's go to a bonus bumper here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show on News Talk 710 KNUS, because as Johnny Lang sings, folks, a quitter never wins. We must not quit. We can be successful and victorious in this election cycle. Let me tell you, folks, in this year tune from his album Lie to Me, Johnny Lang was all of 16 years old. What a powerful, powerful voice. and great guitar work. In fact, by the way, the first concert I ever saw was, what, about 7 years old, I think, and Johnny Lang opened for Jeff Beck. Yeah, only 7 years old, and I first saw Jeff Beck because my father is so cool like that. Oh, just hear that guitar. All right, you're listening to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. We're going to take a break momentarily, and when we come back, I want to talk about this, and we'll get into some discussion of the post office. I got a couple of things I want to share from my web show in partnership with the Washington Examiner, Jimmy at the Crossroads. We just got a lot of things coming up in the second hour of the show that you do not want to miss. But I want to particularly in the beginning of the hour zero in on where the Democrats are at with the violence, mayhem, the chaos, the rioting, the looting, all of that. And here's a little taste from CNN, Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon, that indicates there's a little bit of a tune change here.
The Democrats want to define what we see around the country every time there's one of these cases, like now in Kenosha. The symptom is the protest. The symptom is the riot and opportunists. You have the bad actors. And then you have people who went there for the right reason and now did the wrong things. It's all true. And they're rioters, not protesters, and they're criminals as a result. And they are exhibiting what they say they oppose. But to Trump, the riots are the problem. See, and this is the key, Don. This is why the polling is shifting. Maria, I don't know if we have it to put up right now. But you'll see from June till now, we're seeing voters shift in terms of how they see these incidents. Mm-hmm. And they see them more now about riots than about legitimate protests.
The riots and the protests have become indistinguishable.
Here it is.
And again, the only thing that's sticking in focus groups. And that's why I said that people, that this is a blind spot for Democrats. They don't want, they don't want to believe it. And when you say what you said just now about, you know, what is the symptom of whatever, that's all well and good, but you can't put that on a bumper sticker. Do you know what I'm saying?
Wow. Don Lemon over on CNN recognizing that the Democrats have a blind spot because guess what, folks? The polling data is in, and they do. It's definitive. I'm Jimmy Sengenberger. Two more hours up ahead. Don't go anywhere. News Talk 710 KNUS.